Good morning. I'm Admiral Corey. It's good to see you. I was recently on a Star Trek cruise and they had a pajama night. So I was so surprised and pleasantly surprised that we had a pajama day today. So I wore my Star Trek uniform today. It is my PJs, believe it or not. I'm Pastor Corey. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And I'm so glad that you came out in this weather to continue our series. I love mysteries. I love everything about them. Because I'm ADD, I usually have a couple books going at once, whether I'm reading or listening. And so I've got at least two mysteries going at once, and I'm usually watching something on TV. Yay for BritBox. And so I've got something going on, whether I read Peter Granger's Kingslake investigative stories with a lead character of D.C. Smith, or if you watch NCIS with Gibbs, there seems to be a common thread with these investigators. They have rules. They have things that they look at that help guide them as they have their investigations. With Gibbs, he has numbers. He has numbered rules. Many of you know the Gibbs slap, but he has rules that guide the investigation. And I don't know all those numbers, but I do know that D.C. Smith has the ABCs of investigation. And the A in investigation is never assume anything. And so in this series of Is Jesus a Criminal or a King? Let's not assume anything. Let's not dismiss this series because you've been a believer forever and you know what you know. You've heard these stories. You know he's a king. So I don't even need this series. Don't do that. Don't assume anything, especially about the story that we're going to hear today. Don't assume that as we get into this, you're like, I've heard this story 1,000 times. I did it on flannel board as a kid. I know it forward and backward. I can do it. Don't assume. Take a step back and let's investigate together this story about Jesus. It is good to reinvestigate our belief, our lives, and re-examine, because in that investigation, we may take steps further in our faith and our relationship with Jesus than we ever imagined when we investigate once again. The story I'm going to share with you this morning starts with Jesus dismissing people after he fed the 5,000. Now, in the Bible, whenever a number is given, when it comes down to people, it is just the men who are counted. I didn't make the rules. That's just the way it was. There were 5,000 men who were fed. So take that times two and then add a little bit more for kids. So 15,000 people Jesus has just fed with some fish and some bread. And these people, after Jesus has fed them, are amazed by everything that Jesus is doing. And they start to rumble that, hey, maybe this guy would, we know our current political leaders. We know our current situation with Rome. This guy would be good to make king, right? He fed us. He takes care of us. Let's make this guy king. And so there's this rumbling going through the crowds. Jesus knows this rumbling, so he wants to dismiss them because that is not the kind of Messiah he is. That's not the king that he is going to be. So he dismisses them. But the disciples, they feel this tension too. They feel this, and they're like, hey, our leader Jesus is—he's famous. Now, this is kind of cool. He just fed all these people. We want to stay. And Jesus, as we get into the passage, is quite emphatic. No, get in the boat and go. But Jesus, we want to. No, get in the boat and go. So the disciples get in the boat, and they head out on Lake Gennesaret or Sea of Galilee. Both those names describe the same body of water. So the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake Gennesaret, is a long, narrow lake, and it itself is below sea level. It is on each of the shores, and the narrow sides, are tall bluffs. So even when a little breeze picks up and goes between those bluffs, a storm or waves can come pretty quickly. If you are have fished at all on Lake Skakuia, especially the Van Hook Arm, the Van Hook Arm is known for the smallest of breezes to create waves. And so it's very much like that. I have been fishing out with my father, and we turn towards shore with the lake at our back. It's a beautiful sunny day, and then we look at each other and say, hey, the breeze picks up. you turn around and there's 4-foot rollers, and we have to go all the way across that to get back to the camper. This is how the Sea of Galilee is. Once the wind picks up, it's rolling, okay? So we have Jesus. He's dismissed the crowds. They're trying to disappear, or he's trying to dissipate, although they will find him later, if you continue reading in Matthew. The disciples have gotten on the boat. They're headed across the lake, and Jesus now has, I can finally have time to go up on the mountain, spend time with the Father. So he goes up, and he spends some quiet time with the Father. Night falls. The winds pick up, and the disciples are battling the waves. Let's read this, shall we? We are in Matthew 14, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles or on your favorite device from memory, or just read along with me here. Immediately after this, after feeding and dismissing the crowds and sending the disciples, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out. They cried out, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" There we go. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." All right, so Jesus has finally got some time up on the mountain to spend with the Father. But then the time comes for him to go and meet the disciples. The disciples are in a boat. They're fighting the waves. Now, about half the disciples are fishermen. They're used to this boat. They're used to waves. They're used to this. They're okay. And I know it says they were terrified, but Matthew, who's the author of this, was a tax collector. And so he wasn't used to boats. He wasn't used to high waves. So he says they're all scared. But there were a few there that knew what they were doing. The boat hadn't capsized. Everything was fine. It was going. But the waves were high. Okay? And they're fighting it. And they're nervous. But then, Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, I love this because I think about it. In our minds, in the flannel board, right, the waves are flat. It's like Jesus is walking on the water. Hey, guys, what's up? But that's not how it is. If you've ever been on Lake Sakakawea during a storm when the wind is high, there are rollers that are 4 or 5 feet high, right? I can't see you, so you have to say yes. All right, so the rollers are really going. Jesus is like going from wave to wave. Or I imagine him skipping from wave to wave, you know, like this. But the disciples, what they see is this guy going like this. He's walking between the waves, right? So they see this, and they have no idea what they're seeing. They don't know what's going on. Now, have you ever driven through the western part of North Dakota into South Dakota? There's like nothing to see. It's flat land. There's nothing to see. You can see forever. And as you're going along the interstate, you see something in the distance that you've never seen before, and you don't know what it is. Your brain has got a catalog system. It's going through all the things that it's seen before and trying to figure out what it is you're seeing. Your brain is trying to figure it out. It's like a kid who's got, you know those puzzles with the cutout of the cow with the little handle on it? And they're trying to put it in the right hole. That's what your brain is doing. It's trying to figure it out. Is it a semi? Is it a camper turned sideways? Is it a combine? Your brain is trying to figure out what you don't know what it is. You can't place it until you come up on it and you go, oh. It's a mound with a group of horses on it. Okay, that's so simple. But at a distance, it looked like a spaceship. Really, your brain doesn't understand. These fishermen and the disciples who are in the boat had never seen anybody walk on water before. And their brains are filing through their system trying to figure out what this is. Well, if there's one thing that's common through all of history, It is the ghost story. It is the ghost story. And so they had heard ghost stories since they were kids by the fireside. And especially the fishermen who had heard stories of ships that have gone down and telling spooky stories at night when things are slow while fishing. So their brains jump to this. They jump to, it's a ghost! Now, in my version, in the CEB that I read, it says, they screamed. They screamed like the men that they were. Right? So they screamed out because it's a ghost. They have no idea what's coming at them. They can't fathom what it is that's coming at them. And so Peter, I love Peter. He's so impulsive. He's so impetuous. They're like, it's a ghost. And so Peter's like, I'm going to see whether or not this is a ghost. I'm going to see. Because they heard the ghost say, take courage. It is me. It's Jesus. But Peter jumps up. He's like, oh yeah? Yeah, well, if you're Jesus, then have me come out. Right? He's so impetuous. He puts his foot in his mouth all the time. Let's read this next section. Then Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. If you are not a ghost, if you are who you say you are, then tell me to come out and walk on the water. I could just see Jesus' face. Okay, come on. Come on out. Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouts. Jesus immediately reaches out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why do you doubt me? So here's Peter. He's yelling at this ghost, if you are who you say you are, then have me come out. And Jesus is like, okay, come on out. Now, in our minds, we see Peter going over the side of the boat, you know, like this. Peter, I don't think, is totally convinced. He wants to prove whether or not this is Jesus or a ghost. I'm seeing Peter going, because he fully expects to jump in the water. But when he does this, he's like, oh, I'm standing on the water.
Look at this, guys.
And then he's standing on the water, and he's like, oh, this is Jesus. It's not some, oh, I'm standing, oh, look at the waves, and it's windy. And then realization hits impulsive, impetuous Peter, and he starts to sink. Uh-oh. And he reaches out his hand, and he calls out, okay, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. Jesus, help me. Lord, save me. And he reaches his hand out, and Jesus pulls him up. Now, we sometimes read that passage as criticism. You have little faith. But I see Jesus pulling Peter up and saying, buddy, this was funny what you just did. Why'd you have so little faith? Come on, let's get back in the boat. But they didn't recognize Jesus. They saw a ghost. They didn't recognize the good thing that was coming at them. They didn't see the light shining in the midst of the storm coming at them. Now, I've told you the story of my mother who had this rare brain cancer. What I haven't told you is the story of my stepfather, who died 5 years prior to my mother of the very same rare brain cancer. Now, the chances of that happening of two people unrelated genetically of having the same exact weird brain cancer, you're better off winning the big, big, big lottery in billions than you are of this happening. Doctors and nurses still can't figure it out. Don't think that hasn't kept me up at night. He had the same cancer. And so when he got the cancer, my mom, we couldn't afford help, but yet we didn't, but they made too much money to get help from the state, so we had to take care of him. So he would get up sometimes in the middle of the night on his way to the bathroom or wherever the world he was going, and he would fall. And my mom couldn't pick him up. He was a big guy. He had worked with his hands and worked in carpentry his entire life. He was a big guy. So my mom would call me. I lived across town. And I'd throw clothes on, go pick him up, and we'd take him to the emergency room. Every other night this happened. For 5 months. Every other night this happened. And when it happened again, I was so exhausted. I was so tired. But I picked up the phone. He's fallen again. Please come. I threw the clothes on. I went into the bedroom, and there he was, laying there like a child. I hooked him up by the arms. I picked him up, and we took him to the emergency room again. They knew us by name. And he sat in the bed, and my mom and I didn't speak. We were so tired. And in walks an ER doctor we had never met before. He looks at us and he says, can you two come into the hallway? You see, in the waves of that situation, all we saw were higher waves of darkness. We're like, okay, fine. This isn't going to get any better, but this is what we're used to. We step into the hallway. And the ER doctor says, you two look like crap. Well, that's not what he said exactly, but the word you're thinking will do. He said, you guys look so tired. I have something that'll help you. And we thought, okay, the wave's getting bigger, it's even darker. This is not good. He said, have you ever heard of hospice? No, we've never heard of hospice. What is it? And he began to explain to us what hospice is, what hospice does. He said, they will take John and they will make him comfortable. They will watch over him. They will do these things and help him along this path that he's on. And as he said this, what we thought was darkness, what we thought was a wave that was going to capsize the boat, became the shining light in the night. These boulders that we've been carrying on our shoulders for so long fell to the floor. And we hugged this complete stranger, this ER doctor. You see, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus coming across the waves. They saw this ghostly figure. They didn't know what was coming, and they thought it was higher waves, more darkness, and they became scared. But the story doesn't end there. This last part of the story is the best bit. It's the bit we need to pay the most attention to. It is the best part of the whole thing. The last part of the story is on the screen. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. You ever been on the ocean when the wind stops? The waves continue on. They're still high. It takes a while for the waves to settle down. Even on Skakuia, when the wind stops, 6-foot rollers turn into 4-foot rollers, then 3-foot rollers. The waves still go, but the wind stops. They climbed into the boat, and Jesus caused the wind to stop. When the disciples worshiped him, they said, you are not a ghost. You really are the Son of God. They exclaimed, you're not a ghost. You're not something to be afraid of. You are not darkness. Not making babies cry, sorry. You are not darkness. You are the light. You are the Son of God. And I don't know where you're at, what storms you're in, but the waves rock the boat and the boat rolls. And there are times when it is so dark and we can't see anything, and coming at us is something that we can't recognize. And at times, that's Jesus. He is the light. And when he reaches us and he calls out and says, come on, step on out. Don't be afraid. Do it. And if you start to sink, reach your hand out to him. and he will pull you out. He will cause the wind to stop. The boat is still going to rock. It is still going to roll. The waves are still there. But the wind will stop. Isn't Jesus amazing? In your investigation into who he is to you, whether he is king or criminal, allow him to make the wind stop and be with you in the rolling waves.